I believe it was Shakespeare that said something like, "How more bitter than a serpent's tooth is an ungrateful child." And once in a while, we do meet up with an incidence of ingratitude, and we're shocked by it. How could a person who has received such a great benefit not show any thanksgiving? But, you know, when we think about life and we think about all the blessings that we receive, we should be thanking God all the time. Surely every prayer that we pray ought to have an element of thanksgiving, because we must be so aware of the many gifts and blessings that we enjoy. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, the Bible says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." When we offer up our songs, oftentimes our songs speak of the wonderful blessings of God, and we're so thankful that we can address him, that we can go before him and express our gratitude and our praise for the many kindnesses that he's shown us. Here in the Hebrews letter, I believe the author, of course, is encouraging his readers to cling to Jesus. Don't give up on the Lord. Don't go back to the old system that they had practiced before. You see, Jesus is the sacrifice for sins today, and the old sacrifices no longer have any place. Oftentimes there were thank offerings and various other things that the Jews offered, but today we thank God personally. Each one of us as Christians have the right to go before his throne and to offer our thanksgiving. Of course, some are not thankful. We see in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, it says there, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." He says they weren't thankful. Now again, it's interesting that when he's talking about people, and in this first chapter he names a good long list of some of the vilest sins, and here he says, "and not being thankful." Not being thankful, it's a sign of a very serious character flaw. It's something that could be remedied, but it's going to take God's help. Rather, being grateful is a command of God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are also called in one body, and be ye thankful." Now again, God shouldn't have to tell us to be thankful. But I suppose we're just like children, where we've had to remind our children again and again and again, when somebody does something nice for them, we say, "And what do you say?" And they say, "Thank you." And as we think, well, aren't they ever going to get to the point we don't have to remind them? Well, maybe they're waiting on being reminded. I don't know. But it takes a long time to train that kind of a thing. And Paul is reminding us, you need to be thankful. And one of the blessings of gratitude is that it helps us to avoid pride. Because as soon as I recognize that I have the obligation to show thankfulness, then I realize also that was evidently not a blessing that I had on my own. It's not something that I got for myself. Somebody gave it to me, and therefore I should be thankful. So it helps us to avoid pride. What should we be thankful for? Well, just look around. We live in the garden spot of the world, and especially in this part of this country. What a beautiful land to live in. But also when we just look at the world in general, there's so many varieties of environments, so many varieties of peoples and plants and animals. There's water everywhere. There's just so much that we can look at in the creation and be amazed at God's bounty in bestowing these things upon us. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we see that God made this part of the creation for our use. It says there, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." God said, here is the world, And man, I'm giving you it, that is, in charge. You're in charge of it now. You take care of it. You make use of it. And he's provided us with the raw materials of the necessities of life, food, clothing, water. All these things are readily at hand. All we have to do is take those things and process whatever needs to be done. We have so much. The atmosphere is just right for us. Consider the multitude of pleasures that we can enjoy that are godly and good. So many wonderful things. I often think of the pleasure of eating. Now, we shouldn't get carried away with that, but just think of the multitude of different tastes that we can detect, and that there's so many foods and they're so different, and some are really interesting. Some are evidently a really acquired taste. But look at the bounty that God has given us in this world to enjoy. Surely we should be thankful. This world is also a great place to work. Those of you that might be employed in some kind of capacity, if you've had the experience of working in a really good environment where people got along, where the product was a great product, where the pay was good, the benefits were good, it was not too far from home, you think, boy, that's the ideal job to have. Well, God's placed us here, and again, it's a great place to work. We see in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, we don't get to live in the Garden of Eden anymore, but nevertheless, the world is still a pretty nice place, especially in our part of it. We can never exhaust the list of things to thank God for. We should be thankful to God for the Bible. It's God's revelation through the Holy Spirit. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The things that God wanted us to know, we didn't think up on our own. We didn't know. We couldn't come to that knowledge. But he did reveal it to us through his Spirit. And the Spirit inspired the people who wrote those things down, the prophets in the Old Covenant, and the apostles and apostolic men in the New Covenant. And these things have been preserved for us down through the ages by God's providence. So many other documents of antiquity have completely disappeared. All we might know of them is that so-and-so wrote a number of books about a certain subject, but those books are gone. All we know is that somebody wrote those books, but we'll never see them. But the Bible, God has preserved it for us, and we can know by looking at the manuscript evidence that we have it in its completion, and that there's nothing lacking in it for us. What a wonderful thing that God has given us his word. We appreciate those faithful, God-inspired men who wrote those words down. In fact, they estimate 40 different writers over a period of 1,400 years are responsible for the writing of the Bible. And as I said, God's grace and providence have left us a precious gift. You know, people gave their lives to transmit it. There were periods of history where it was illegal to possess a copy of the scriptures. And those people who translated it into the vernacular of their particular region were especially hated at times. And people were burnt at the stake or were choked to death or other terrible means of death because they had taken the scriptures and translated them into the language of the people who lived in those regions. We should be thankful today for the printed word that we have. You know, years ago, Bibles were very few and hardly available. In ancient times, of course, they had to be written, copied by hand. There was no printing process whatever. But with Gutenberg and the development of movable type, suddenly the number of Bibles exploded. And now, of course, in this modern age, not only do we have it on the printed page, but now we can have it on our cell phones or our tablets. You can download it from the internet. There's various ways that we can read God's Word. Also, you can get it on DVD or CD. It's a wonderful age to be a Bible student. Not only are the scriptures there, but there are so many, you might call them Bible helps, reference works, that again, at one time were unavailable because they were so expensive. You know, you take a book that was compiled over a period of 20 or 30 years, and it's 2 or 3 inches thick. It's very few people that could afford to buy such a thing. But now it's all there right on your computer screen. Jesus promised that he would preserve his word. Matthew 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. What else should we be thankful for? We should be thankful for family and friends. You know, family is a precious blessing. Some people don't have any family. They were in a situation where all their relatives were wiped out. Or they're in a situation where there just weren't very many people, and disease and old age, there was an attrition, and it's just down to them. And they're alone in the world in some respects. To have nobody to call kin must be a terrible feeling. But also, friends are a precious thing. You know, a real friend, and I mean a real friend, is a rare gift. I read a proverb that goes something like this. A real friend is one you need not be afraid to be stupid in front of. You know, nobody wants to appear stupid. But if you've got a real friend and you do something stupid, they're not going to think bad of you about it. They're not going to laugh behind your back about it. Or they're not going to carry that around as gossip, because they're your real friend. And again, there's no one who is immune to being stupid. But if you've got a friend that can take you even in your stupidest times, don't let that friend go. Make sure you cultivate that friendship forever. Proverbs 17 and 17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A real friend will not let you slip as well. Proverbs 27 verse 6 says, the first part, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes a friend must tell us as it is, you know, without, you might say, soft peddling the situation. Otherwise, to tell us directly. And why would they do that? Because they want to hurt us? No, because they're concerned about us, because they're worried about us, and they're telling us, you need to be careful here, even though it might hurt our feelings. They're willing to risk that because they care more about us than they care that we might not like them. You know, sometimes people, they withhold necessary things because they're afraid if they say it, then that person's not going to like them anymore. But that's selfish. That's really selfish when you're worried about somebody else not liking you. Don't you like them? And isn't that our part, is to like them and to care about them and not try to make them like us? We need to be thankful for the church as well. The church is a manifestation of God's wisdom. In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, to the intent now that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The church is not an afterthought. The church is not just a group of people that get together and do worshipful things. They are the body of Christ on earth. We're what Jesus died for. Consider the autonomy of each congregation. This is something that we find from the New Testament, that the various congregations were separate and each worked under their own leadership. And one church didn't tell another church what to do. Consider the plurality of the local leadership. In the examples that we see in the New Testament, where there were elders, there were always more than one person that was an elder. Consider the cooperation between congregations. The churches sent and they worked together in accomplishing some of the mission work. Every member of the church is precious. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." We're all linked together in Christ. And when something hurts you, I should feel it. You know, as if we all had a common nerve that threaded through every one of us, and that we each feel our brother's sigh. We're baptized into the one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit." We have that unity. It's the one body of Christ. We need to be thankful for Jesus. Now, his love astounds us when we look at his patience with the apostles and with the people, his people, the Jews. But especially he showed it by his dying for us. John 15, 13, Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." He was the expression of the Father's love. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that's John 3, 16, and we always appreciate that, but we also need to think about the Son. Jesus came here according to the Father's will and endured so much, and finally the death of the cross to make it possible for us to live forever. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Here Paul is expressing a progression. He says people might die for a righteous man. And there might be a situation where a person might give his life for a good man, but Jesus gave his life for wicked men, for sinners like us. His teachings lead us. And what a blessing it is, again, to look into the pages of the Scriptures and to there to see his very word. In John chapter 8, verse 31, it says, "Jesus therefore said to those Jews which believed on him, If ye abide in my word, then are ye truly my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's a conditional thing. Abide in his word, and he says that's what will make you his disciples. And he set a wonderful example in his life, a perfect example. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." And his sacrifice humbles us. Again, when we think of what he endured in those last few weeks of his life, the opposition was building. The disciples were fussing about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. People were inquiring, when are you going to start your kingdom? The leadership, the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders, they're plotting some way to try to destroy him. And then later we see Judas, he's conniving with the chief priests on how to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And then finally his arrest and those mock trials there before the Sanhedrin, and then the terrible trial before Pilate and the scourging and the crucifixion. And then even after he was dead, they thrust a spear into his side. A final insult, you might say, to that sinless body. We have to commend Joseph for having the courage to go to Pilate and begging for the body of Jesus. And he and Nicodemus tenderly placing that body in that new tomb. And of course, don't forget the women who were preparing to come on the first day of the week to finish up the preparation of a body that had been interred. Of course, their work was interrupted, because when they got there, Jesus had risen from the dead. What do we have to be thankful for? Well, we could just go right on and on talking about the many things. But certainly when we look at the world we live in, thank God for this beautiful planet and the beautiful stars and the universe that we can look out on. Again, God gave us the stars. We didn't really need them. I mean, we could have probably gotten by without them. You go outside right now and you can look up at the sky and you don't see anything in the way of stars, just clouds. What if that was the way it always was? We'd never know that there was anything else out there. But God gave us a vast universe and we can look out through it unspeakable miles and just continue to marvel at the grandeur of His creation. God gave us the Bible. And again, we can look at it and we can plumb its depth and we never do find the bottom, as it were. The wisdom, we keep finding those bits of wisdom that we never saw there before. And it emphasizes again and again to us the great love of God and His majesty and greatness. And then the family and friends, we need to treasure them because, again, as time goes on, they tend to disappear, don't they? Maybe they move away. Maybe we move away. But then again, maybe they move on from this world. But the church, treasure it because it's the body of Christ. Jesus died to purchase it. And be thankful for Jesus. We show our gratitude by loving obedience. It's not enough just to say thank you. We ought to show it in every day of our lives by living in such a way that there's no doubt about us that we truly are thankful. As a believer, if you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, why not decide tonight to put that faith to work and make it a reality by repenting of sin, confessing your faith, and being buried with Christ in baptism for remission of sins. And as a Christian, if you've been unfaithful, come back in repentance and prayer. Our song is for your encouragement as we stand and as we sing.